You have your Bibles, you want to turn to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 6, Gospel of Mark and the chapter 6. And my text is found at the very beginning of the verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? There was a question asked by these people when they came face to face with Christ. Is not this the carpenter? I want to speak tonight about Jesus, the carpenter, that's found here in this verse. Let's look to the Lord, and we pray the Lord will help us tonight as we meet around His Word. We pray, child of God, that God will bless His Word into the hearts of the unconverted in the meeting even tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the opportunity of coming together. We thank You for the great hymn we've just even been singing together. And to the uttermost, Jesus saves. He is a great and a mighty Savior. Now we pray tonight as we would even turn to Thy Word, that Thou will bless the preaching of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the salvation of many precious souls. We need Thy Spirit, Lord. We need Thy help. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Set us down in Thy presence. Let us get our eyes tonight on Jesus the carpenter that's brought before us here in this passage, and write great truths upon our heart about Him who's altogether lovely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read the Gospels, we find that when many people were brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were uncertain to whom He was. And you will find that they questioned His miracles. You will find that they questioned His message. You will find that they questioned His manhood. In other words, they asked, who is this man that stands in our midst? They did not believe who He claimed to be. They did not believe the prophecies of the Bible. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood in our midst, they questioned Him, who is this man who stands in our midst? In Matthew 12 and verse 23, it is recorded, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And so they were questioned, is this the son of David? Is this not the one that the Bible says will come, the Messiah? Is not this the son of David? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, and they all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is he this not Joseph's son? In John 4 and verse 29, there in St. Mary, the people come out, and the woman says here to the people, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so you find when the Lord Jesus Christ came before these people, they were asking the question, is not this the son of David? Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this the Christ? In John 7 verse 25, is not this He whom they seek to kill? And here again in this passage, the Lord Jesus is causing a stir. He's preaching the Word of God, and great miracles are being done, so much so that the people looked at Christ and they said, is not this the carpenter? And so they referred to Him not as the Christ, or the Son of David. But they said, is not this the carpenter? What they were saying here, that the Lord Jesus is just a carpenter. Now, according to this text, the Lord Jesus had an earthly trait. He was a carpenter. If you would read Dr. Gill, who has a great knowledge of Jewish writings, he tells us about many rabbis and the greatest doctors that had to have a trade, and they did have a trade. Some were shoemakers, blacksmiths, or tailors. They say a man is obliged to teach or to learn his son an honest and an easy trade. And they were saying this of all the Jews. Now, no matter who you were, if you were a rabbi or you were a doctor of the law or of the scriptures, you had to have a trade. And it is recorded there, even in history, that the fathers would take time and they would learn their sons a trade. Now, it seems by this text, the Lord Jesus Christ was learnt by Joseph, his earthly father, to be a carpenter. Because the people, when they came face to face with Christ, they said, is not this the carpenter? Now here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps you've never thought of before. Perhaps you've never really seen in the Scriptures before Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Here he is. He's standing as a carpenter. That's how he is described here in this text. That's how he is described by this people. Is not this the carpenter? And there we have the lesson tonight about Jesus, the carpenter. And I want us to learn a few lessons about Jesus, the carpenter, tonight from this text. I see, first of all, a simple lesson, his humiliation. You listen to the words of this people who are brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this not Jesus? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? He's only a carpenter. Now, what a step down this was for the Lord Jesus Christ. This reveals his humiliation. Here were people, and they could rightly have it said as they looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, is this not the King? Is this not the Lord of glory? Is this man who stands amongst us, and he's preaching, and he's doing great miracles? Is this not the Savior of the world? Is this not the man who made the world? Is this not the promised Messiah? They could have said all those things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was all of those things. He is King. He is the Lord of glory. The Savior of the world. The Creator of the world. He is, of course, the promised Messiah. And yet here we find him not standing as those things. But he's standing here before the people as a carpenter. What a humbling step this was for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who made the world. Now he's standing as a carpenter at a bench. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus took such a step. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, and Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he tells them about the great step that Christ took. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And he tells them here about the riches of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of glory. And then he tells them here in this particular passage how he made himself poor. He came right down in the step of humiliation. And then he brings it out to the church of Philippi. Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And he said, have a look at Christ. Have a look at this one. He's the Lord of glory, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And Paul's directing this people at this church to this tremendous step of humiliation. Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then he tells them, he comes right down, he's made himself a servant. Oh, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ is found here. As a carpenter, he made the world. Yet there he is. There he is, the Son of God. There he is, the King of glory, standing here. And yes, he's just referred to as a carpenter. I'll tell you this, that's a step of humiliation. To the blessed Son of God. Oh, they should have gazed upon Christ this day. They should have fell at his feet. They should have said, "Lord, we worship thee. Thou art the Lord of glory. Thou art the Savior of the world." But all they said, "He's just a carpenter. He's just a carpenter." The humiliation here in this step. Of course, it is a step that was needed. In order for the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, he had to take this step. He had to leave the very courts of heaven and come down to this world. He had to take upon himself, it says in Hebrews 2, not the very seed of angels, but the seed of Abraham. He had to take the devil on at the cross. He had to die for our sins. He had to shed his blood. He had to become man. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, here's a step that was needed in order for us to be saved. He had to become man. And that's what the blessed Son of God did. His humiliation, the King of glory, the Lord of all lords, he took a step down. He became a carpenter. There he is. And I see Christ here in this passage as a carpenter. I see a great step of humiliation. They say that as they look at Christ, he's only a carpenter. That's all he is. Just a carpenter. But I see in that the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took this step down in order that he might save us. He might have eternal life. That we might be redeemed by his precious blood. He took this step down. Is not this the carpenter? I see here, first of all, the humiliation of Christ. I hope you see that tonight. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. He who was the Lord of glory came down to this earth to live as a man. I see his occupation as well, a carpenter. And I want to say a few things about this occupation as a carpenter. It's a particular work. The carpenter works with wood. He does not work or specialize with steel or with metal. He's not like a stonemason who's around the kingdom of Morn and work with stone. Or does he work with brass or silver or gold? But he specializes in working with wood. And we know in the occupation of a carpenter that he makes things. It may be tables or chairs or shelves or cabinets, beds or doors or roofs, whatever the case. But a carpenter is one who can work with wood and he makes things. A carpenter is also one who mends things. Things that are broken, you can bring them to the carpenter and he can mend such things. And no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a carpenter and his occupation, well, it's a particular work. He's working with wood. And I see Christ here in his earthly ministry here with standing at the bench and he's working as a carpenter. And he's working hard, he's making things and he's mending things. And he is a carpenter. A particular work. But I want to say to you, Christ the carpenter has a greater work than that. He only works with sinners. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That old scribes and Pharisees came to Christ in Matthew chapter 11, or chapter 9, verse 11 to 13. And when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ sitting with publicans and sinners, he says, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why is it that he's with publicans and sinners? Why is he with these wicked people? Why is it, is he sitting with people who's deep in sin? Why is he sitting with them? The Lord Jesus gave the answer. It says when Jesus heard it, he heard them. He heard them criticizing him by the wayside. And he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn not what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there Christ tells you, as a carpenter, a particular work. He says, I have come not to call the righteous. I am the Savior of the world. I have come to work with sinners. That's why Paul says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is his occupation. It is a particular work. He works with sinners. He's a carpenter. The spiritual carpenter, the Lord Jesus Christ. He works with sinners. Does he not make men new? Does the carpenter make new things? Whatever it may be. Doors or tables or chairs, whatever. I want to tell you tonight, Christ Jesus makes new men. He makes sinners anew. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. And I say to anyone tonight who's unconverted in this meeting, Christ Jesus can make you a new person. You say, no, tonight I'm deep in sin and far away from God. But Christ Jesus has a particular work tonight. As a carpenter, as a spiritual carpenter, he can make you a new person, a new man, a new woman tonight, a new boy or a new girl. He can cleanse you from all your sin. He can give you everlasting life. He can make you a new person. Because it's a particular work. He deals with sinners. And he mends broken hearts as well. As I said to you, a carpenter mends things. The Lord Jesus can mend lives that are wrecked by sin. It says in Isaiah 50, 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Talking here about Christ, a prophetic scripture to do with Christ. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me. This is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been sent from the very courts of heaven. I have come to bind up the brokenhearted. Christ can mend broken hearts tonight. He can mend lives tonight. Your life racked by sin. Your family racked by sin tonight. Has your life been turned upside down by sin? Christ Jesus can mend it. He's a great carpenter tonight. A particular work, you see. He saves sinners. His is a particular work, spiritually speaking, as a carpenter. It says it also a proficient work. That means skillful. No doubt it takes a lot of skill for one to work as a carpenter. You need good hands. My dad used to say about me, Noel has hands for nothing. He wasn't far wrong. For I was a wrecker. I would have broke things instead of doing it right. But you know, when you look at one who is a carpenter, an ordinary carpenter, I came across one who was advertising about his skills. He says, I am dedicated to my work. I specialize in all aspects of domestic joinery, home improvements, renovations and repairs. I am a genuine, multi-skilled joiner carpenter. Those words cannot be written about me and many people in this meeting as well. A proficient work, a skillful work. And I have no doubt, as Christ Jesus tells us here, that he was a carpenter, that he was very skillful at his work. He would have knew how to do the work. He would have been skillful at it. And I want to say tonight, he is able to save to the very uttermost, the Bible tells us. He can save the worst sinner tonight. The deepest sinner. The sinner is up in his neck in sin tonight. The Lord Jesus can save him. Why is this? Because he's able to save. He's very skillful. He can save the worst sinner in this meeting tonight. He can save the worst person in this town tonight. You see, he's a great spiritual carpenter. Very skillful how he saves them. It's a patient work as well when we think of the occupation as carpenter. As one said to me yesterday, we went for a walk away up to Loch Shannon. I'm not named the one who said it to me. He said, I couldn't be. He didn't know I was preaching this, and I never told him I was preaching this, but he said, I couldn't be a carpenter. He said, because I've no patience. Well, not name the one who said that. No patience, he said. And you know something? You need patience when you are a carpenter. There will be different difficult angles to cut, planing to make things make. A lot of patience, a lot of trial, a lot of hour in order to make things. You had to be very patient as a carpenter. The Lord Jesus would have been very patient as a carpenter. There would have been different difficult tasks given to him in the timber trade at this particular time, but he would have been very patient. He wouldn't have lost his head. Some people would lose their head and fire the hammer across the room and fire the timber down and all the rest of it, but not Christ. Does our Lord Jesus not tell us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? And he tells us in the next verse that he is meek and lowly. There's none like Christ. He is patient with people. He is patient with sinners. And I say to you tonight on Satan this meeting, he's been patient with you, perhaps now, for many years. He has called you. You've been challenged about your sin. You've heard the gospel and to come and to trust him, but he's still patient. He's still patient with you tonight. You see, he is, of course, the great carpenter. Oh, we find his occupation here as a carpenter. He saves sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great spiritual carpenter that's mentioned here in the Bible. He can save your soul tonight. He can take away all your sins. He at last can bring you home to heaven. He is not this the carpenter. I think of his occupation, the occupation of Christ here. The great work that he did at this time. I want to say thirdly about Christ the carpenter. I want to think about the qualifications as a carpenter. The Lord Jesus no doubt served his time in the trade of a carpenter. If you had a man tell him and asked him about his qualifications, whatever they were at that particular time, he would have all the necessary qualifications. That's why they said it's not this the carpenter. He had all the qualifications that was needed. Now, we do know, of course, it is the same in this day and age. You have to go through apprenticeship in order to be a carpenter. And that can last, it depends what course you're doing. That can last up to 3 or 5 years. After which you become a full-time carpenter. A carpenter then is a craftsman, a person skilled in woodwork. Now there are different, of course, categories of carpentry. There's rough carpentry. And that is one who performs a work that does not require a finishing touch. That may be framing. That may be roofing. And those things. People can put up timber framed houses or put on roofs. That is known as rough carpentry. Then there's finished carpentry. That's one with a fine hand and a fine finish and a lot of work. And there are people then that have the qualifications to do that sort of work. Trim carpentry as well. Ship carpentry. I came across that as well. People who's really professional in working in their trade upon ships. The bench carpentry. And people have all these different qualifications. Some may have maybe them all. I do not know. But people have qualifications to be a carpenter. The Lord Jesus Christ, we have to say here, was a carpenter. He was qualified. Whatever the standard was. Whatever the standard was in biblical times. I can say to you here tonight, the Lord Jesus reached the standard. He reached the standard to be a carpenter. He had the qualifications to be a carpenter. He knew how to work each instrument in perfection. He knew how to work the saw, the hammer, the chisel. You see, he would have been a great carpenter. He had all the qualifications to be a carpenter. Some have not the qualifications. I certainly would not have the qualifications to be a carpenter. There's one thing I like when I'm working with wood. It's plastic wood. And you always need a wee bit of that handy when you're making joints and so on. It was always good to have the plastic wood and to fill it in with good fillers. And together, and then you can varnish over it, whatever it was. But you know, there are people that can make joints, you hardly see it. They're so skillful in their work. And Christ, no doubt, he had the qualifications. And I want to say to you, he has the qualifications to be the Savior. The Bible tells us that he's sent from the court of heaven. The Bible reminds us in 1 John 4 and verse 14 that we have seen. And John is saying, is this one who served with the Lord Jesus Christ, who saw his great miracles, who heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. He says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he's saying this before all the people, that Christ Jesus, he has the qualifications. He is one who is qualified. He has been sent down from heaven to be the Savior. Have you asked him about his documents? Have you got the documents to be the Savior? Have you got the qualifications to be the Savior of the world? Christ could show you the qualifications because the Father sent him. And therefore he had the qualifications to go to the cross and to shed his blood upon the cross. Christ has the qualifications to be the Savior. Did he not die for us? He did. Did he not take our sins upon his own body? Did he not bear them all away? He did all of these things. He is the Savior of the world. And he has the qualifications to be the Savior. And no one else has the qualifications. No one else has this authority. Not a church. Not yourself. Not Mary. Not the Pope. No priest. No minister has the authority or the qualifications to save your soul. And I want to say that to you tonight on saved in this meeting. No one else has the qualifications to save your soul. None but Jesus Christ. None but Christ can save you. Take away your sin tonight. No one else can rescue you from the broad road that leads to destruction. No one else has the qualifications. Some may claim they can take away sin. Some may claim they can save your soul. Some may claim they at last can take you home to heaven. But ask them to show you the qualifications. Ask them. Ask them for the paperwork. Show me the paperwork that you can save my soul. That you can take away my sin. That you can take me to heaven. No one else has it. But I tell you this, Christ has the qualifications to be the Savior of the world, you see. the authority and the ability to be that Savior. All the qualifications. You know, he knows how to cut a sinner down to size. Wasn't Apostle Paul a very proud and very big sinner, going about blaspheming the name of Christ, hating the Lord Jesus, hating his people? Ah, do we not find him in the book of Acts in chapter 9? Where is he? He's cut down to size. There he is on his mouth and nose. He's down before Christ. But Christ has brought him down. I tell you, nobody else could bring him down. None of the other people of God could work this man and bring him to his knees, bring him to a place of repentance, bring him to a place of faith. None but Christ, you see. None but the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew how to cut a man down to size. He knows how to work the hammer. In other words, the word of God. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Oh, Christ knows how to use the hammer of the word of God. You can find that in John 4, talking to that woman of Samaria. He tells her about her sin. He tells her, he who believeth in me hath everlasting life, and he saves her precious soul, and he brings her from darkness unto light. The Lord Jesus, he knew how to use the hammer of the word of God. He knew the right words to say to this woman. You see, he's got all the qualifications. All the qualifications to save. The authority and the ability. Christ has it. And I say to you tonight, all saved person, the Lord Jesus can save your soul. He can save your soul tonight in this place. I say tonight, he has the qualifications to take away all of your sin. Everyone. His blood was shed for sinners, and his blood can cleanse you tonight. He has all the qualifications needed to save you. He has died for sinners. He loves sinners. He has rose again from the dead for sinners. Christ Jesus is the great carpenter. He has all the qualifications. You haven't got them. The church hasn't got them. But Christ has. And that's enough. It's all you need is him to save you. The great spiritual carpenter, the Lord Jesus, can make you anew tonight. He can mend your broken heart. He can save your soul tonight. He's all the paperwork. He's all the qualifications. He is the Savior of the world tonight that we find here in the Word of the Living God. And I want to say another lesson about Christ the carpenter. I want to speak about his dedication as a carpenter. The Lord Jesus would have been one totally dedicated to the work he was given to do. There'd be no half measures with Christ. I would say this, when he did his work, he had no complaints. There was nobody came to Christ and says, I don't like that job that you did. I don't believe there's anybody came to Christ as he worked as a carpenter and says, hold on a minute, you started a job down the road for me and you've left it half finished. I don't believe that was ever said of Christ. Now, I've said maybe if some carpenters in this congregation or in this community, and people's maybe waiting you going back to finish jobs, and we all know what that is, because maybe of business and other jobs and taking on different jobs at one time. But it was not said of Christ. He didn't half finish the job. He was dedicated, and he finished the work that he was given to do. And people tell me today about carpentry, and the people like to stand back and to admire the work that they have achieved with their hands and with timber, like maybe perhaps even the very wooden ceiling that's above our head tonight. They finish the work and look at it with a sense of satisfaction that I have done this with my hands. And I want to tell you that Christ Jesus is dedicated as a carpenter. And as a spiritual carpenter, there's none like Christ. He was totally dedicated to his work of saving sinners. Did it not say in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face even like a flint, I'm going to the cross. Doesn't matter what's before me. I know the suffering. I know the pain. I know the agony. I know what will happen to me upon the cross. But you know, he set his face like a flint. And Nothing was going to halt Christ in going to the cross at this particular time. In Matthew 16, verse 21, when Christ told them that he was going to go to the cross, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. And he's talking to his disciples, and he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter then took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And we find here Peter is standing before the Lord, and he's saying, listen, you're not going to the cross. You're not going to die up in Jerusalem. The Lord in a sense says, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. You see, he's dedicated to his work as a spiritual carpenter. Indeed, he says in John 17, the great high priestly prayer, in verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Did he not cry when he hung upon the cross, cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. The work of redemption is finished. I have come to die. I have come to suffer for sinners. I have taken their sins upon my own body. It is all finished. I have borne them all away. And he suffered for every sin and for those who would trust him. He shed his blood in order to purchase the souls of sinners. Oh, you see, he's dedicated to the work of saving the souls. He finished it. He finished the work. He will save his people from their sins as well, you know. He says it. He will finish it, of course. Everyone he saves, he will present in glory. In Jude verse 24, be unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And it tells us here what Christ will do with every child of God in this meeting. He will take us and he will keep us from falling, and he will present us faultless before the throne of glory, every one of us in this meeting. But saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Christ, one day he'll present us faultless before the throne of glory. And what I'm saying is this, he'll finish the work. Christ Jesus will finish the work in the hearts and in the lives of everyone that he has saved. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he was have begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, that the one who's begun this work of redemption in your heart, he will perform it. He will finish it. Because Christ is dedicated to the work. He will save sinners from their sins. He will at last bring them all home to heaven. He will finish the work. Because he's a great spiritual carpenter. And there's none like him. He saves completely. He doesn't half finish a job. I want to say tonight, unsaved person this meeting, he doesn't half save you. Christ doesn't half save anyone. We were saying, to the uttermost, Jesus saves. You see, is not this the carpenter? He's a great savior. He's dedicated to the work. And the work that he commences in the lives and hearts of those he'll save, he finishes the work. You should trust him. You should come to him. Because he's a great savior. And he can save you completely. He can cleanse you completely from your sins tonight. He can give you eternal life. Because he is a great carpenter. He's dedicated to the work he's been given to do. And I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than the snow. He can save you tonight. Can I say lastly, and very quickly, about his rejection as a carpenter? Because we find here that said, is not this the carpenter? Look at the end of verse 3. And they were offended at him. They were offended. In other words, they stumbled at him. They didn't want him. They said, this man, he's only the carpenter. He's a son of Mary. He's really a nobody. We don't want him in our lives. We want nothing to do with this man. Oh, we hear him preaching and we see him doing mighty miracles, but we want nothing to do with this man. And they rejected the carpenter. Think of that. They rejected the one who could make them anew. They rejected the one who could mend their sinful lives and hearts and their soul. They rejected him. They rejected the great carpenter, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they died in their sins and were lost in hell for all eternity. They wouldn't trust the one who could save them. They didn't trust the one who could give them everlasting life. They rejected the carpenter. Is that what you're doing, the meeting on saved? You come to hear the gospel each week in this church, and we're glad of that. But you've never come to Christ. You've never repented from your sin and trusted Him. Why not come to Him tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I've just heard that you are the great spiritual carpenter. That you can make me anew, that I can cleanse me, that I can save my soul, that I can take me at last home to heaven. I repent from my sin, Lord. I receive you into my heart. Save my soul. Lord, save me. Would you not do that tonight? You know He can save you. Or does He mean nothing to you? He meant nothing to this people. Despisedly, they said, is not this the carpenter? Don't turn away from Christ tonight. Don't keep on rejecting Him who is a great Savior, who can save your soul tonight. But come to this one who can save to the very uttermost, whose blood can cleanse you from every sin. And you'll prove that He is a great spiritual carpenter. And He'll finish the work that He'll commence in you tonight. He'll take you home to heaven. Can you show me in the Bible anyone who didn't make it home who were saved? Everyone He saves, He finishes the work in them, as I said. And they end up in the kingdom of God with Christ for all eternity. They'll never be in hell, never be punished for their sins, because of the carpenter. The Lord Jesus lays His hand upon them, and boy, He makes a great job, the one He saves. Would you come and trust Him? The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Would you like to speak to me more about these things? Well, speak to me about it. Settle the matter tonight about your soul, where you'll be in eternity. And may God give you the grace to repent, to believe the gospel, and to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight we thank you for your help. We thank you for the Word of God and the message of Christ being our carpenter, the one who can really save us to the very uttermost. And many tonight in this meeting are living proof that Christ Jesus can make new people, make us new creatures, can make new lives, Lord. Give us a new heart, a new love, a new life. Indeed, there's none like Him tonight. And I pray for any who's unconverted that they'll not go home without Christ. These people in the passage said, is not this the carpenter? And Lord, they were offended. They stumbled at this. Let none stumble tonight over Christ. But may they fall upon Him and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. We pray you be with us. We pray you take us to our homes in safety. And keep your hand upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.